Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, text number 43. There's no purport, so we'll just read the translation. O King, although the boys had passed an entire year apart from the Lord of their very lives, they had been covered by Lord Krishna's illusory potency. Thus consider that year merely half a moment. Text 44. Kim kim na vismarati ha. Maya mohita chetasa. Yan mohitam jagat sarvam. Abhikshnam visritatmakam. Kim kim. What indeed? Na vismaranti. Persons do not forget. Iha. In this world. Vayamohita. Bewildered by illusion. Chetasa. Whose minds. Yat. By which. Mohitam. Bewildered. Jagat, the world, sarvam, entire, abhikshnam, constantly, visrita atmakam, making one forget even one's own self. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. What indeed is not forgotten by those whose minds are bewildered by Lord Krishna's illusory potency? By that power of Maya, this entire universe remains in perpetual bewilderment. And in this atmosphere of forgetfulness, no one can understand his own identity. Purport is clearly stated here that the entire universe is bewildered. Thus, even great demigods like Indra and Brahma are not exempt from the principle of forgetfulness. Since Lord Krishna exercised his internal illusory potency over his coward boyfriends and calves, it is not at all astonishing that for 1 year they could not remember their position. Indeed, by Lord Krishna's external illusory energy, the conditioned souls forget their existence, not only for 1 year, but for many billions and millions, billions and billions of years, as they transmigrate throughout the kingdom of ignorance called the material world. What indeed is not forgotten by those whose minds are bewildered by the Lord's illusory potency? That power of Maya, this entire universe remains in perpetual bewilderment, and this atmosphere of forgetfulness, no one can understand his own identity. Krishna has one energy called his internal energy, and that internal energy also manifests sometimes as the external energy. That is Durga, or Maya. She's an expansion of Srimati Radharani. And she serves the same purpose as for Krishna's. She's also in Krishna's service, and she serves Krishna's purposes. Therefore, when Vyasadeva, on the advice of Narada Muni, sat in meditation to understand what is the cause of his lamentation. So he said that bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite malay apaishat purusham purnam maya cha tad apashraya. By the strength of bhakti yoga, or devotional service, bhakti yogena manasi, by putting his mind into service to Krishna, that is, if our purpose is to serve Krishna, that's called bhakti yoga. Purpose, and we're doing something authorized by Krishna, or something that Krishna wants, that's called bhakti yoga. So Narada Muni had requested Vyasadeva to meditate on Krishna, and that's what he did. Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Samyak Pranihita Mule. And he did it without any material motivation, simply to understand his relation with Krishna. Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Samyak Pranihita Mule, Apaishat Purusham Purnam. And then he saw Krishna. Krishna revealed himself because of the purity purpose of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva actually directly saw Krishna. And then Apaishat Purusham Purnam. Maya cha tad apashaya. But then he also saw Maya. So Maya was also serving Krishna, but from the backside, not directly. In the kingdom of Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna has his pastimes, or Vaikuntha, there's no need for the external energy, because she's there present fully as the internal energy. Therefore, when we hear in Bhagavad Gita verses like Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yogamaya Samavrita Mudayam Navijanati Lokayam Ajam Avyam, that I am never manifested to the foolish and unintelligent. By them I'm covered by my internal creative potency, Yogamaya, and so the deluded world knows me not. I'm unborn and inexhaustible. So Krishna declares it's his Yogamaya. Yogamaya is usually equated with the internal energy. But here Krishna says, Yogamaya Samavrita. Therefore, we should understand that also Yogamaya has manifested herself in a particular form called Mahamaya in order to fulfill our desires. The example is used if you go up to a tree and you grab hold of the tree and you keep on saying to the tree, let me go. But actually the tree is not holding on to you. You're holding on to the tree. Therefore, if you simply let the tree go, then you have no problem. But if you blame the tree for capturing you, you're going to have a big problem for a long time, because the tree is never going to let you go because it never grabbed you in the first place. So similarly, under the spell of Maya, we blame Krishna or everyone else for our problems. The Tevidu Swarthikatim Hi Vishnu Dharashaya Ye Barhir Artamanina. We blame Krishna or others for our problems. Well, actually, the problem lies within ourselves because we're attached to material existence and we won't let it go. And therefore, we have to suffer under material existence because we won't accept Krishna's directions and just let it go. Therefore, Vitirna Krishna Parataksatova Bito Bipadyeta Grihavratana. Vitira means one who is in the material existence and has been determined to stay there. He'll never put his consciousness in Krishna, in spite of good instructions from others, or a self-study, or a combination of both. One will not accept Krishna as the cause of all causes. And therefore, one will be in the endless blame game that I'm an innocent victim of something. And therefore, if God was actually kind and just, he would actually give me justice. Or if that's not the case, then God is crippled. He's impotent. He's allowing things to go on unjustly, and therefore I can't blame God because that would be a little bit impolite. I just blame everyone else. And say that actually Krishna is just not in control. He's that typical, the rabbi named Krishna, who came up with the theory that actually God is a nice person, but he's the oldest person. And because he's the oldest person, therefore he's become a little senile. And although he's trying very hard in order to make things right, but he's lost his mind, and therefore he can't act properly now. So even he's trying to clutch the earth and get things going, but he's senile and his hand is shaking. He can't even clutch the earth anymore. But don't worry. soon one of the younger angels will take over and things should go better. So this idea that God has lost his intelligence and therefore he can't control things like he used to, and therefore you can't blame him if bad things happen to good people. He's just not in control anymore. The devil's in control. But this is a misconception, because according to the Vedas, not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's desire. Does that mean that everything that happens is Krishna's desire? In one sense, everything that's happening to us, Krishna is fulfilling. Yes, it is his desire, otherwise it wouldn't happen. Is anything unjust? No. If someone is, does that mean we agree with everything that happens? No. People are getting the reactions, but not everyone has to volunteer to give people their reactions and get entangled in the actions and reactions of their own karma and other people's karma. No, we can step aside from karma by the process of devotional service in Krishna consciousness, and therefore at least free ourselves from the bondage of karma, from action and reaction, by acting in Krishna consciousness. Now, if someone is destined to get some reaction, someone will give it to them. We don't have to line up as a volunteer to entangle ourselves in the modes of material nature. We can let someone else take care of that. And we could try and free ourselves by acting in Krishna consciousness and pure devotional service. And although, well, then we'll become purified and go back to Godhead. While others may stay here and fight it out with each other, because that's their desire. Therefore, it is said, tasyaiva heto prayate te kovido, talabhyate yad brahmate uparida, talabhyate dukavat anyatak sukam, kayena ramasa. That after going up and down throughout the whole universe, we've been going up everywhere in this universe, looking for some kind of peace and happiness and satisfaction and whatever, family, one family after another. But when one becomes a little bit kovido, a little bit wise, learned, experienced, then he realizes that just like we're not looking for unhappiness, no one goes door to door looking for something to make them unhappy. Everyone is looking for happiness. But just like unhappiness comes without our asking for it, so happiness also comes without our asking for it. Therefore, one should understand that this is the workings of time, and one should not try to get entangled. Tasyaiva heto prayate te govido, talabhyate yad brahmatamu parida, talabhyate dukavat anyatak sukam, gabir something, ramhasa. So one should understand that there's no need to seek after some happiness in the material world, because it'll come of its own accord. What there is need is to seek out Krishna consciousness, which is higher than any happiness that will come of its own accord, and will take care of all our distress at the same time. So one should try to focus the mind on Krishna consciousness. And in the meantime, tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Tatenu kampam. We have to get Krishna's mercy. When we talk about, can you give me your mercy? Any mercy any living entity has, anyone can give, is because they're real mercy, because they're channeling Krishna's mercy. Krishna is the reservoir of mercy. And everyone else, in one way or another, is a medium for Krishna's mercy. There is the mercy of bliss, knowledge, and eternity for those who are interested in getting that mercy. And there's the mercy of a slap across the face for those who are interested in getting that mercy. So whatever mercy we want, Krishna will give us. The slap across the face is not to torture us or beat us or punish us. It's to wake us up. It's said in the Bhagavatam that Krishna saw one of his maidservants was sleeping, but he wanted to enjoy with her, and so he started to shake her. To wake her up, not just to disturb her. So Maya is there to wake us up with a good slap. And of course, because we don't understand sometimes what's happening, therefore we fight against the person who's trying to help us. If you're drowning in the ocean, lifeguard dives into the ocean to save you and bring you out. And the first person you attack is the lifeguard who's trying to save you. You think, why are you manhandling me in the ocean? It's bad enough I'm drowning, but now you came in here to give me more trouble. Although the person's trying to save him. So similarly with Maya, she's trying to help us, to wake us up. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Because we're complacent, we think, oh, this is not such a bad place. Let me try and enjoy here. There's something to eat, there's a place to sleep. There may be some sex life in the future, and I have a lock on my door, so I feel pretty protected. What do I need Krishna for? And then along comes birth, because we don't care about birth, because we don't. Birth is a good thing in the Western world. They sing happy birthday on your birthday, and they give you presents. So birth is really nice. I don't mind taking birth again. As long as I get a big birthday cake every year. And they give me presents. And death is not so bad because people don't care about me usually during my lifetime. But a few people cry when I die. Matter of fact, most people when they die, they don't look very nice when they're dead. But then they take them to the undertaker and they make them look more beautiful than they were when they were alive. So when people go to the coffin, they look at the coffin and say, oh, there's Mr. Patel. He looks healthier than he was when he was alive. And in America, at least, in the coffins, you can actually, if you want, they pipe music into your coffin, whatever kind of music you're attached to. The only problem is it's not possible to change the station. If you have rock music in your coffin, you can't change the country and western when you feel like it. So they take care of the dead more than they usually take care of when you're alive. So what's in between old age? People are doing everything to avoid looking old. When they're young, the little girls or boys, they want to be older. And when they're older, they want to be younger. No one is ever satisfied. Maybe when you're 25 for a few days, you're satisfied. And then you want to become younger after that. And then there's a disease. No one wants to become diseased. So just in modern society, they just cover it over, pretend it doesn't exist. Therefore, in America, they take so many prescription drugs just to cover over the symptoms so you can pretend you're not sick. But actually, old age, disease, and death, there are impetuses, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, there's no impetus to make any spiritual advancement without these things. And the heavenly planets, where apparently there's no old age, disease, and death, they're oblivious to spiritual advancement for the most part. They want to enjoy as much as possible. And even more so in the subterranean heavenly planets, they don't even have the sun moving around. There's no light. So they don't even know when it's day and night. It's always day, because of the jewels of the serpents who live down there, or so effulgent, that it, for them it's daytime all the time. So they don't even know they're growing older, and that they're going to, the Sudarshan Chakra, as it says, the fifth canto, is going to come and they're going to have to take another body soon. But here, at least on this earthly planet, the miseries of material life are apparent, but not so grave that we can't make progress in spiritual life. Not so grave we can't accept the fact that we have to grow old and die, leave this body, at least the body has to grow old and die, and therefore become a little enthusiastic to make progress in spiritual life. So the illusory energy is there, and Krishna is there, and the opportunity to take shelter of Krishna and get out of the illusory energy into the spiritual energy. We're not just trying to get out of the illusory energy. We're trying to become eligible so the illusory energy becomes the spiritual energy. Just like hankering and lamenting. The first lecture I heard Prabhupada give directly, he said, in the material world, there's only two things. Either we're hankering for what we don't have, or we're lamenting over what we lost. So that's material life, hankering and lamenting, shoshati and kankshati. But even in spiritual life, there's the same thing there, but spiritual. We hanker for Krishna. The gopis were always hankering for Krishna when he left Vrindavan, apparently. And they lament that they don't have Krishna. Well, of course, when they hanker for Krishna, they have Krishna more than even when Krishna is present. And when they lament that they don't have Krishna, then Krishna is even more in their consciousness. And therefore, hankering and lamenting is blissful in the spiritual world. And here it's miserable. Therefore, simply we have to choose whether we want to be under the internal energy of Krishna by devotional service, or we're going to remain under the external energy of Krishna and satisfy all our mental desire, live according to our material conceptions of life and try to satisfy our material desires that are constantly afflicting us in the name of becoming happy. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? I can hear the clock. Okay. Kurandara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.